Carolyn, late last year, decided to run an event. And I went along to the event, and I think we would call it a success, wouldn't we?
Yep.
And so I asked Carolyn if she would mind coming along and sharing the experience with you, because I know some of you sort of should consider, if you haven't already considered, running an event, and getting a bunch of people in a room like this, and getting a whole bunch of clients all in one go. Does that sound like a good idea?
Yeah.
So that's Carolyn's topic, and hit it, Carolyn. I'll just grab my computer.
So, my knees aren't shaking, my hands are sweating. But I think it's because it's hot in here. All right, so running your own event. So back in October, I decided to run an event. And so the lead up to that is what I'm going to talk about today, the who, what, when, where, how, why. And so hopefully you'll get something out of that. I just wanted to mention, on this front screen, that Changing the World One Family at a Time, we actually, there are a couple of spending planners that got together prior to my event, and we actually ran a trade show. And we didn't run a trade show, we participated in a trade show. And one of the things that we did for that trade show was got one of these banners made up. Now that's a 6 foot tall banner. I did mean to bring it with me today, and I totally forgot. But it's a 6 foot high banner, and we got that done at Officeworks, and it cost us $120. Best thing.
Wow.
Fantastic. So we actually have that that we can now use for any and all events that we do, and it was really worthwhile. And the other picture is a picture of our little goodie bags that we have tonight, and I'll talk a bit more about that. So, alrighty. So, why would you want to run an event? Okay. Trust me, I asked myself that question. Like, why do I want to do this? This is just, it was scary. It was a challenge. It was, I believed it was going to be a more effective use of time, okay? So I was meeting with clients at that stage, one-on-one, and I thought, you know what, it'd be really good to get a whole heap of people in a room together so that I could share my presentation and get a whole heap of clients at once. I thought, what a great idea. That's really good. So how that happened, and the other thing too, so it was a challenge. It took me totally out of my comfort zone, absolutely totally out of my comfort zone. And the other thing it did was to raise the profile of the Spending Planners Institute. So by literally having that banner standing outside a room in a public place, people will walk past that and go, oh, wow, that's cool, you know, what's a spending planner? And so, again, it's just raising the profile of the Spending Planners Institute, okay? But the main reason I did it was to gain more clients in a hurry, okay? So, so we talked about, we looked at when we would actually have this, what's the ideal time of the year to run a workshop, what's the ideal day of the week to run a workshop. And for me, I was actually heading overseas on the 6th of December. We ran this workshop on the 24th of October. So I had a 6 week window where I figured I was going to have plenty of time to get all these clients up and running before I went away, right? I'll talk about the problems later in there. Right? Okay. So the other one of the year. So when is the best time of the year to hold a workshop? Don't hold one in January because everyone's on holidays, okay? Don't hold it in December because everyone's on holidays. Don't hold it in November because everyone's about to go on holidays and they're not in the mood. Don't hold it in Queensland in June or July because we don't go out in the cold. I'm serious.
You know,
you Melbournean people might go out in the cold. We don't like the cold up here, right? I just spent 4 weeks in Canada in sub 23 degrees minus degrees temperatures, and it was cold. Ideal months, February, March, April, May, and August, September, October, okay? The ideal day of the week, so I have my workshop on a Tuesday, and I found that that was a really good day of the week to hold it. Any later in the week and people start to get tired, they're working, they don't want to go out. Pretty much, you never hold it on Wednesday because that's footy night, right? So don't ever do that.
We're talking specifically Queensland, I take it.
Well, yeah. I mean, honestly.
Wednesday ain't footy night in Melbourne.
There's no footy night in Melbourne? Okay. Wednesday's footy night in Queensland. Okay. So I held it on the Tuesday and I had a really good response to that. Idle time, I held the workshop between 6 and 8, okay?
At night.
Yeah, at night, so 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. And so that kind of worked pretty well too. Alrighty. So you're about to hold the workshop, you need to know who you're going to invite, okay? So now Sam is a member of many organisations and she's got a wealth of people that she knows through those organisations. So you're going to invite everyone that you're a part of, you know, any organisation that you're a part of, Chamber of Commerce, BNI, whoever. You're going to invite your current clients, okay? Because your current clients, what you're going to say to your current clients is, I want you to come to my workshop to support me and I want you to bring a friend who you think can gain value out of my service, okay? Because all of my clients will say to me, oh, I've got someone who needs you, right? So this is the ideal opportunity for them to come. It's a safe environment for that friend to come because they're coming with a friend, okay? So all of my clients got an invitation and the invitation specifically said, I want you to bring a friend, okay? Referral partners, so my mortgage broker, my accountant, my financial advisor, I invited all of those people, and again, you can say to your referrals, you know, if you've got a client who you think might, you know, benefit from this workshop, bring them along, okay? Potential referral partners, so anyone who you think, you know, you want to get your business out there and we want to get people to understand what we do and who we are, so invite potential referrals, okay? And then friends and family, to basically fill the room at the end, when I did it, my friends and family were on the bottom of the list and I said, look, I'll give you an invitation right at the end if I need basically bombs on seats, okay? So, alrighty, so the how, all right. So this is really interesting because the how is, the how is actually really quite involved, okay? So, put YouTube there first, but I'm actually going to come back to it, okay? The first thing I did was got my head around MailChimp. Now, I don't know how many of you have got your head around MailChimp, it's not easy. I didn't find it easy anyway, but I'm getting a bit old, but that's what I think. Anyway, so on MailChimp, I had three databases, okay? I had a database for my current clients, I had a database for my referral partners, and I had a database for my friends, okay? So each of those three groups of people got an email. Now what I did prior to putting that email together on MailChimp was I did a short video of my upcoming workshop. Now it was about 2.5 minutes, okay? I put that video up on YouTube and I put it on my Facebook and it went out as part of an email that I sent through MailChimp to those three current clients, referral partners and friends, okay? So when I did that, we started advertising this workshop 3 weeks before the event. So the first lot of information went out. Now the event was the 24th of October, the first lot of information went out on the 1st of October, okay? And what we did was those people got three reminder emails each week leading up to the event. So they got the initial one, and then for those next 3 weeks, they got another email with a reminder for that workshop, okay? And each email said something a little bit different, okay? I've got that information on my MailChimp, so if you do want copies of those, I can give it to you, okay? Because they are a little bit different. All right, so Facebook. So then what I did on Facebook was I did that initial clip that I put onto YouTube and MailChimp also went onto Facebook, obviously.
And then over those next 3 weeks, on Facebook, 3 times a week on Facebook, I posted something about the workshop. I posted little video clips about the workshop. One of the things that I discovered, and I know a few of you have discovered it as well, is a video, a company that allows you to do free video clips, and it's called Lumen 5, okay? L-U-M-E-N, number 5, okay? Really great tool. There's a few of us here in love with Lumen 5, and if you look on my Facebook page, you'll see little videos that I've put together that are only like 2 minutes max, because people won't look at or listen to anything that's beyond that, okay? What I found with the videos is you'll often get a really good response to a video, because people these days don't read too much, okay? You're not giving them too much information to read, they're not going to read it, okay? So 3 times a week on Facebook in the 3 weeks leading up, I did a video and I did post about the workshop, okay? And what I kind of gave people little snippets of what they would actually learn at the workshop as well, so, and it was just an enticement. Everything that I put up onto Facebook had a link to my website, which had a pop-up for the event, and also it linked to Eventbrite, which is where I actually hosted the event, okay? So everything linked back to either Eventbrite or the website, okay? So Eventbrite, if you haven't checked it out, it's a really great place. The thing that I liked about Eventbrite was that, now I initially had, and I'll talk a bit more about why I chose the number that I chose and whatever, but essentially I decided that I would put out 40 tickets for the workshop, okay? So on Eventbrite, the more tickets you sell, the further their advertising goes, okay? So as my ticket sales increased, Eventbrite, then I guess, I don't know, it's a bit maybe like the algorithm that Facebook uses. So the more tickets that you sell, the further that event goes. So it goes to other sites as well. And I didn't even realise that at the time, but when I got to about, I think over 30 tickets sold, it actually started to be advertised in other places, which was really exciting as well. So,
was the 40 tickets based on the room size or what?
Well, yeah, and I will talk about, I will get to that. So that was the how. So the other thing I did right at the end, the day after the event, the morning after the event, I actually sent out a Google survey to all of my participants and basically had 5 questions on that, asking them, what they thought, what I could have done better, blah, 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 you know, improvements and that sort of thing. So that was really important as well, feedback for the next one that I will do, she says with confidence. okay, so where? All right, so now there are a few considerations that I looked at for where. So a lot of the places that I looked at were actually really large, and if you're looking at libraries, a lot of libraries do have rooms where they will allow you to host workshops. The smallest room that I could get local to where I was, I think had a minimum of 60, and the other room had a minimum of 100, and that was just way too many people, and it was too huge and too overwhelming, and I wasn't going to do that. I looked at other places in the business district that were either too small or, you know, didn't give me the equipment that I needed or whatever. And the other thing that I had to be aware of, obviously, was cost, how much was this going to cost me, what the location was going to be based on where my current clients were really and referral partners. I didn't want to go too far out of, you know, the central place where I was positioned. And of course, the other consideration was insurance, because a lot of these places required a minimum of $20 million public liability insurance. And I know that Philip is going to talk to you guys about that after I'm finished, so I'm not going to say too much about that one. So with the site, so what I ended up choosing was a local tavern, okay? And this tavern had a function room that housed 30 to 60, because they had a wall that they could actually move, depending on your numbers. So I thought, and it was a really, when I saw the room I walked in, actually it was a very similar setup to this. It actually had round tables set up, and I really liked the concept of round tables because to me, when I walked into the room, it felt friendly and welcoming and intimate. And I had looked at the configurations of, rows of chairs, and I didn't like that at all. And the other configuration is your boardroom setup where you've got your U shape, and I didn't really like that either. So I went with a tavern for 40 people, round tables, it looked really nice. Now, the good thing about the tavern was that they had their own insurance, so I didn't actually have to have that insurance, but I say that like that, Philip, because I know that he's going to give you a bit more information on that one. And the location of the tavern, it was easy access to the highway, both north and south, and I had people coming from both directions, and it was really easy to find. Okay, so that was the reason I chose where I did. And the cost was quite minimal, actually. It was really good. And they would also provide, because the other consideration I had was, do I provide food? Do I provide tea and coffee? It's from 6 to 8. What's that going to look like? So that was the other thing that I had to consider as well.
How much were they paying for tickets?
Sorry?
Were people paying for tickets?
They weren't paying for tickets. They were free tickets.
Yeah.
And I will talk a little bit more about that later as well, because,
Can I just so when you say reasonable cost, what do you say, $500 a night?
No, the cost for the room was $240.
Okay, and it wasn't offset by food or drink or anything?
That provided, and I will go into the, what that got and what that actually included. Okay. So what does it look like? So as I said, it was really welcoming. We had the round tables. I have my six-foot banner up outside, out the front. We had a nice registration area set up, and so it was very friendly and very welcoming. Okay. Now, the other thing I had when people walked in, on the registration table, we decided that we would run a competition. And the reason for running the competition was basically to give people opportunity to give me their name, phone number, and email address, so just those three things, okay? And there was a little opt-in under that, so by filling in this, basically you're opting in to become a MailChimp subscriber, okay? So I could then add them to my MailChimp, okay? So people would...
Didn't you already have the database in your MailChimp book?
Yeah, but these were for new people that came, like the...
Oh, but right.
Okay, cool. So I had all the others, but these were for all the new people.
Did you get the right to give you that information?
Yeah, but you have to have, before you can actually add someone onto your MailChimp list, you have to have their permission. Okay, so you have to have an opt-in, alright? And so I had a little glass jar full of gold coins, and it was guess the number of coins in the jar, and fill in your information and put it in the box. Okay, so I then have their information, I have their permission to opt in for my MailChimp, I could then add them to my list, so my list then grew for the next one. Okay?
What did you give as a prize?
Yeah, the coin. Yep. Okay, so the next thing I did was little goodie bags, which are these ones here. So here's one I prepared earlier. So in the little goodie bag, I had some coins, okay, which people love. They actually threw them at me during the workshop.
Oh, David Wright.
She
kept saying budget and she wasn't supposed to.
Yeah, I know. I wasn't allowed to say budget. And I gave them permission during the workshop to throw things, minties at me if I said the word budget, and then somebody started throwing gold coins at me. Seriously.
They're chocolate.
Yes, they were chocolate.
People were like that.
Yes. And see, he walked out at that point. David, people threw gold coins at me, didn't they, David?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes, I remember who that was. Right.
That one person.
Yeah, that's right. I have my little flyer, which basically says who I am and what I do. I had this little brochure here, which basically gave them 10 tips for 10 tips for saving money, okay? And what else did I get done? I gave them a Spending Planet pen, which
I'm still using mine.
I think it does still work.
That's awesome.
And that was, who did I do that through? I did that through, what's that one? Mr. Prince, thank you. Yes, that's who it was.
So did you work out how much that has cost you? Like,
yeah, I'll tell you. I'll let you know how that is. So, Mrs. Carson.
Caroline's so organised.
I'm sorry. Mentor cards. Okay? So that was a little goodie bag. Now I have these ones, I actually am blessed to have a daughter who's a graphic designer, so we have a reciprocal arrangement. She gets free budgeting advice and I get free graphic design. It works really well, trust me. So there are ways around the cost. So essentially, I'll go into the total cost later, but the thing with that bag is it's hard to kind of work it out because, you know, I ordered a plethora of, you know, all of the, and even these little stickers that I had on the front as well. I've got like 1,000 of them, I think, sitting there, so I guess that means I have to do another workshop because I've got stuff that I have to use. Okay, so, welcome to Tables Goodie Bags. Food. So I talked to the girl at the tavern about what we would actually do for food, and there are a couple of different options. What I chose to do was we started the workshop at 6. People came in, they registered, they walked into the room, they took a seat. There was, over on the side there was a table with basically hot hors d'oeuvres. Okay? So just kind of finger food, stuff that they could help themselves to. And then on another table over the other corner, we had tea and coffee for them as well. So it wasn't dinner, but it was enough to feed them, you know, to take away those 100 pounds until they got home to have a decent dinner. Okay. So 30 minutes for registration, finger food. The actual presentation went for about 40 minutes, okay? And then I encouraged people to stay after the presentation and ask questions. So the whole thing, I think we were, people were pretty much gone by 8 o'clock, probably a little bit before that, okay? I wanted to make it fun because so many workshops that you go to, you know, you're sitting there, you're listening to me, there's not a whole lot going on. Some people are falling asleep because it's 2 o'clock in the afternoon, they're going, oh my goodness, it's time for my nanny nap. So I had to make it fun and make sure that it was a little bit interactive as well. So, and the way I did that was we had, during the workshop, we had one moment where I talk about the missing number, okay? And so I said to them, okay, everyone, I want everyone to get out their mobile phone, right? So everyone gets out their mobile phone. And okay, so I'm gonna talk to you about the missing number. Did you know that when you go into your bank account, there's actually a number missing, right? Now, how long does it take you? Like, you've got your mobile phone now. I imagine that everyone in this room will have their bank account as an app on their mobile phone. It takes me 15 seconds to know what my bank balance is today, right? I want you to put your hand up, you know, once you've done that, put your hand up. So we did that and that was a lot of fun. And the other thing we did later on in the workshop toward the end was we actually did a little bit of goal setting. And the way we did that was to, we gave them all some coloured sheets of paper and some coloured pencils. And I said to them, okay, we talked about 2018 at that stage being 68 days away, and what was 2018 going to look like? What was one goal? What was one thing that they wanted to achieve for 2018? And they either had to write it down or preferably draw a picture, and then they had to share it with their partner or their neighbour or their friend or whoever. By this stage, the people at the tables, because they, even though some of them were strangers, they didn't all know each other, there was quite a lot of interaction, actually quite surprising me, because there was a lot of interaction at the tables and they all felt quite comfortable with each other, you know? So, and then doing that little goal setting exercise, that was a really powerful thing as well. And it just really lightened the mood as well, okay? So that's essentially what it looked like. Right, so what was the outcome? Okay. Okay, so now I had my husband there, and what I had done was I'd done up my calendar for the next 3 weeks, and I had blanked out a number of appointments that I had. I think I probably blanked out about 21 appointment times over the next 3 weeks, so about 7 a week where people could actually book in and make a time for a free consultation. Okay, so I. At the end of the night.
Come on.
She needs it then and there.
Come on. Yeah, I'm just saying, bear with me. I'm the
sugar.
Seriously. No. Did you know? Hey, let me give you a random fact, okay? Because this is going to wake you up. Are you ready for a random fact?
Yeah.
Okay. Here's a random fact. Random fun fact for you. Did you know, or actually, do you know the reason why people say bless you when you sneeze?
Yes.
Do I know the reason? Oh, you know the reason. Don't tell me.
Oh,
all
right.
Oh, okay. All right. Tell me.
I didn't hear.
It was because, well, I think this may be an urban myth, but it's part of the ring-a-ring-a rosies, proper posies, a tissue reel fall down.
No.
And that in the Middle Ages was an indication that they were getting the plague. So people would say, bless you.
Right.
Well, actually, I think it's because your heart stops. I thought it was because your heart stops just briefly for a second.
That's right. And
it's,
your heart
so
actually
they were
stops.
Scared that the devil would get in because your heart actually stops.
That's
so
right.
Say bless you.
Your heart actually stops for milliseconds to save them from the devil.
That's
right.
You also know your heart
stays in
your
eyes. Yes, I know. So there you go. All right. Sorry. Okay, so we're all right. No, I'm not sneezing. Okay, so the outcome of my workshop was not one person left that room that night without signing up for an initial consultation. I had 40 tickets for sale on that night. I sold 38. I had 34 turn up for the workshop, and I had 4 apologies who later made appointments with me anyway.
Wow.
Okay. So I was pretty stoked with that.
Yeah.
I had 5 new clients sign up in the first 3 weeks before I went on holidays, and I had 3 more who wanted to sign up, and I just didn't have time to get to them. So they're actually on my list, so I've contacted them this week, and they're on my list to sign up. So, yeah, so essentially 8 new clients, and I've probably got about another 3 that I will follow up after that as well. So I would say that was a fairly successful event for something that cost me in total with all of the, with food, with the venue, with all of the every tools and chattels and everything that I provided, it cost me just under $1,000. So less than 1 client. Okay? Less than 1 client. So I think that's a pretty successful outcome. Okay. The other thing that the exposure was really great because I've actually had a lot of people, and even the girl at the tavern said to me after, she said, you so need to come back and do that for our staff because they need to hear, you know, a lot of these young people haven't got a budget and they don't know about money and they're asking me for extra shifts because they're overspending and blah, 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 blah. So, yeah, so I've actually got her on my list to contact as well and follow up with her and with her staff. And also the increased awareness, of course, for the Spending Planners Institute, which is really exciting. Yeah. So, what would I do differently? All right. I had a whole PowerPoint presentation, and some of the, so going back to the Google survey and things that people actually, their responses to the Google survey. Okay, the PowerPoint slides were too busy. Okay, there were a number of them that were hard to read, especially for people in the back of the room. And so that's one thing that I would definitely change. And the thing about PowerPoint, and I tried to show that in this PowerPoint thing, that, and my daughter will tell you, okay, graphic designer daughter, Calibri Light 54 for your headings, okay, Calibri Light 40 for your text. So apparently that is the way we do it, okay? So I don't know.
What size is the
54 for your headings,
yep,
and 40 for your text. Okay. The other thing that I, and what I did was I had a friend who actually videoed that for me on the night, and I then went back and looked at that video, and I say so many times. Like, have I said that today?
I'm
really trying. I haven't noticed. I'm going to get better at that.
I can hear
that. You didn't say that.
I haven't noticed.
You haven't noticed.
Okay. You're doing such information.
When I looked back on it, especially in the beginning, I think probably because I was really nervous. Okay. So I was kind of like Okay. So, but yeah, that was another thing.
Just an example.
But yeah, exactly. Just like that. Volume and speaking. Volume and speaking. So make sure when you're doing a workshop that it's not monotone. Okay? You can't keep the same, you know, tone of voice or whatever. It has to be up and down, it has to be loud and soft. And I mean, one of the things that David said to me that really struck me, and I didn't even realise I did it. He said, when I lowered my voice, I spoke from the heart.
Wow.
Right?
You just did it then.
You just did it.
Yeah. So when I lowered my voice, I spoke from the heart.
Wow.
And that's when I engaged the audience the most. And when I looked back at that video and I listened to the times when I actually lowered my voice, that was when it had the greatest impact. So, yes. So they were the only, the main improvements that I would make. Speaking too fast, actually, that was another one I said. So practicing beforehand, practice. Yeah.
I have a question about your actual presentation. So for you, so it was 40 minutes for the presentation. Can you sort of, you know, devote sort of, I don't know, 10 minutes to your story, and then did you kind of like take your free
pretty much, yeah, pretty right. much. So I started at the beginning with my story, a little bit about me, and then we went into, you know, what does the spending plan do, what does the spending plan look like. So we looked at, and I don't know if most of you should have seen, David actually had a thing that he put together with the story of two families. So two families, identical incomes, and we had two graphs of those families, and the basic difference for those two families was their starting point. Okay, so I actually used that. I still data stuff all the time. Love data.
That's what I'm here for.
Because I figured, you know, why reinvent the wheel? David's already invented it for us, and we're very blessed that he has, because that we're very blessed that he allows us to use that sort of stuff. So, and that was really powerful. What I did, see, I just did it again. Right. What I did, the most powerful thing I did that night was I had Crystal, who you heard this morning, as my living testimony at that workshop. And Crystal got up and spoke the same as she did this morning. And I love that girl to bits. Crystal is my biggest spruiker for my business. She has brought me so many clients, and every time she brings me one, I hand her a gift card for $50, and she goes, oh cool, I get to go shopping again. You know, so
it helps your budget.
Absolutely, helps her budget, helps me, yeah. So she's a great girl. And a lot of people, when we finished, actually went and spoke with Crystal, because, and a part of the Google survey responses I got were the living testimony was fantastic. Right. People want to hear, and I'm not saying, like, you know, you guys, you're you know, for those of you that are starting off, you might not even have a living testimony, but for me, it was a powerful tool that night. So if you can, and if you have, then by all means use it, you know, but if you can't, then it's, you know, it's still going to be worth your while to run the workshop, okay? So, all right, so this is just a, this was one of my slides that I actually used in the presentation, and I put a big cross over it because this is an example of a slide with too much on it. Okay? It's too busy, it's too hard to read, people can't read that and take it in and listen to me and look at me all at the same time. Okay? So that's one thing that I would do differently, and I do have to go back and redo my presentation. This was another one. Why is that wrong? No, you can't see it, right? And I didn't even think about it at the time, okay? But yeah, so that's two examples of just things that I would do very differently next time I present it in a different way, okay? Okay, so key points. Speak from the heart. Number one, absolutely speak from the heart, because I've got a story, you've got a journey. I don't know what your story is, I don't know what your journey is, but I want to get alongside you. I've got something that you need, right? And I want to share it with you. And I'm speaking from my heart right now, okay? So that way you engage your audience, okay? Your volume, speaking voice, okay, really important. Do the highs and lows, do the, you know, the loud and soft. Relax and have fun. We had a lot of fun that night. We really did. It was good fun. Be real, be authentic. Sam said that before, you know, we're nothing if we're not authentic and not real, you know. And you've got to have a good finish. And what I've actually done is I've taken a snippet of the last 2 minutes of that workshop, which is my good finish, okay? So, here we go. So that was my last slide that I put up. Just like buying a house is a wise investment, spending plan is a wise investment to help you reach your goals and your dreams sooner. The thing that excited me about that workshop at the end was that we finished and no one moved. Everyone just sat there at their tables and I was like, wow, okay. So I'm going around chatting with people, no one left. And the only ones that went outside were to make an appointment with Alan, who was sitting out at the registration table. And no one left that room, as I said, who wasn't a client who didn't make an appointment for their initial consultation. So, would I do it again? And was it worth the time and effort? If there was a lot of time and effort, the next time it's going to be easier. Yes, I would do it again. I'm planning this year on doing it 3 to 4 times, probably each term, sort of each school term. Except not in June, July, because we go to bed in winter, remember. But yeah, it was a great thing. It built my confidence. I know that I'm going to do it a whole heap better the next time. There'll be a lot of improvements. And yeah, that's
That's it, all right.
What did you call it?
Yeah.
What, like,
oh,
was
yeah.
What
that
was your...
Yeah, what was the name?
Now,
yeah.
Actually, how do you advertise? What was the name?
Yeah, and I will go back to that, actually, because what I... The other thing that I did that I didn't say was when I started thinking about it and what I was going to call it and whatever, I actually put out a survey on Facebook. And the survey basically said, I'm currently putting a workshop together. I appreciate your feedback. Which one of these headings would appeal to you the most? And I had three headings that I'd come up with, right? So out of those three headings, I kind of took the responses that I got and I listened to what people had to say. And I ended up calling it Manage Your Money with Ease and Confidence. So, any other questions? No more questions?
Oh, I've got a quick one. I don't know if you covered it, so apologies if you did.
Yep, yep.
You said you got 100% success of people
signed up for
it. So, how many of those signed up as in a paid client?
Every one of them.
All of them signed up?
Every one.
Excellent.
I'm so proud.
Thank you so much. You've got to love this lady. She's just all passion and all heart, isn't she?